The Gospel of John's account of Easter has Mary Magdalene being greeted first by two angels and then by the risen Christ himself. Jesus directs Mary Magdalene to go tell the disciples that she has seen him. Here's a reading about what happened next from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 29. It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. Then Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said to them. After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. And so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." And Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hand and put my finger on those scars and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were together again indoors, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Then reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop your doubting and believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Do you believe because you see me? How happy are those who believe without seeing me." So you've probably heard the term a doubting Thomas. It's used to suggest that a person tends not to believe what he or she is told. Maybe you didn't realize that the term doubting Thomas comes from the Bible, specifically from these stories from that second to last chapter of the Gospel of John. To this day, Thomas is still held up as a person whose faith wasn't as strong as it should have been. He's looked down upon because he had some doubts when his spiritual brothers told him that they had actually seen Jesus alive and talking with them. I don't think it's fair to saddle Thomas with that label of doubting Thomas, and there are a few reasons why. First, there's the linguistic reason. John, of course, wrote his gospel in the Greek language, and in the Greek text, the Greek word for doubt doesn't appear. Jesus doesn't call Thomas a doubter. The Greek words have Jesus urging Thomas to be a believer, not an unbeliever. A second reason Thomas doesn't deserve to be remembered as doubting Thomas is this. Thomas wasn't alone in being an unbeliever. In the verses just before today's Bible passage, Jesus instructed Mary Magdalene to tell his disciples that he was rising from the tomb for a reunion with his heavenly Father. And that's what she did. Mary told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and related to them what he had told her. Now, did the disciples doubt her? Reading John's gospel, it's hard to say. But the other gospels say it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, they all report that when the disciples were told the news that Jesus had been raised from death to life, that they didn't believe it. So why single out a doubting Thomas? Why not also a doubting Peter, a doubting Andrew, a doubting Thaddeus, and so on? Well, the reason is, the writer of the fourth gospel uses the figure of Thomas the Apostle to communicate a truth to the audience that he was writing for. Remember, the Gospels weren't written so they could get into the Bible. They were written by particular authors writing for particular communities. For instance, I'm writing for an audience of 21st century Presbyterian Christians living near the shores of Lake Erie. John the Evangelist was writing for a particular audience too. Who was he writing for? Well, we don't know where they were located. But Bible scholars are sure that John was part of a community of Jewish people who embraced faith in God through Jesus Christ the Son. We might think of them as Christian Jews. Now, John wrote his gospel for these Christian Jews sometime between the years 75 and 100 AD. By then, between 40 and 70 years had passed since the crucifixion and resurrection. Many of those Christian Jews in John's community had been born after the time of Christ. Many of those early Christian believers weren't acquainted with anyone who had been an eyewitness to the life and ministry of Jesus of Nazareth. And so those early Christians wondered, could their faith possibly be as legitimate, as life-changing as the faith of those who had been so fortunate as to have seen and heard and known Jesus? To address their concern, John the Gospel writer described a scene on the evening of that first Easter. As we heard, the disciples of Jesus were gathered in a room. In addition to the 12, it very well could have included other followers. And of course, the 12 were now 10. Judas was dead, and Thomas wasn't there for some reason. Despite the walls and locked doors, the risen Christ suddenly appeared in their midst and showed them the wounds in his hands and side, showing his physical body. Now let's remember that Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene early that morning, but this was the first time he appeared to the disciples. After a while, Jesus left them. Sometime later, Thomas joined the group, and the others were beside themselves. They excitedly declared, "We have seen the Lord!" Now, had Thomas been there earlier that day when Mary Magdalene told the disciples that she had seen the Lord? Is this the first time he was hearing of it? Thomas shakes his head. "I'll believe it. I'll believe you when I can put my fingers in the scars of his hands and side." A week goes by. We don't know what happened during that time, but the following Sunday night, the group gathered again. This time, Thomas was with them. And Jesus comes into their midst again. As if he had eavesdropped after he had departed the week before, Jesus immediately speaks to Thomas. He tells Thomas to place his fingers in the wounds of his hand and side. Thomas doesn't need to. In a clear and concise declaration of faith, he says to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." John's Gospel concludes this episode with Jesus affirming that faith isn't dependent on proof. "Do you believe because you have seen me?" he said. "How blessed, how happy are those who believe without seeing." Now, John the Gospel writer had Jesus speak those words of assurance to Thomas, but the evangelist wrote those words with his faith community in mind. He assured those Christian Jews that they could fully embrace their trust in the Son of God, even though they themselves had not had a personal experience with Jesus of Nazareth. "How happy are those who believe without seeing me,"